Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Bridget Bergen, in for Brian today. And now we're going to wrap up today's show with a look at an American phenomenon, the death of the teen babysitter. And when I say this, I'm not referring to an 80s slasher movie where a teenage babysitter becomes the unlucky first victim of a crazed serial killer. Instead, I'm talking about the disappearance of older kids watching younger kids while parents go out on a date night or work the late shift. According to Faith Hill from The Atlantic, Americans are no longer relying on the teenage girl next door for babysitting duties. What once was a, quote, quintessentially American experience isn't an option for kids nowadays. And with the disappearance of the teen babysitter, we're also saying goodbye to a cultural icon from a bygone American era. So listeners, does your teenage daughter or son have a babysitting gig? Do you hire a teenager to watch your kids? Have you ever looked for a teen babysitter and just had no luck? If you're hesitant about having the high schooler watch your kids, why is that the case? Or have you had a high schooler watch your kids and prefer them not to babysit them? Those of you who grew up babysitting as a teenager, what did that role mean to you? And how do you look back on your time as a babysitter now that you're an adult? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. You can also text at that number. And as the calls come in, staff writer Faith Hill joins me now to talk more about her piece in The Atlantic, Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead. Faith, the piece starts off by declaring babysitting a job that used to be both a job and a rite of passage for teen girls, offering, quote, a tentative step toward adulthood, responsibility, but with guardrails. So start us off there. How did babysitting allow teen girls in the United States to practice adulthood in their youth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really, it was kind of like a starter job for a lot of teens and even tweens. I think, you know, a lot of parents understood that the teen watching their kids was responsible enough to be doing this job, but they were still childlike, and that, you know, was sort of part of the deal. So a lot of people, you know, told me that when they were babysitting at pretty young ages, 12 or 13, you know, they might get there and the kids were already asleep and they were there to just be sort of an extra eye, or there'd be sort of leftovers there for them to heat up. So there were these ways that parents would sort of make sure that it was doable for the teen, and it was still really important responsibility and an opportunity for growth, but it was understood that the teen was a teen.
You write about the ways the teen babysitter has been depicted in pop culture time and time again throughout the 20th century. Can you take us through the many babysitter tropes we've seen in books, TV, movies, and the societal tensions we were trying to work out through those tropes?
Absolutely. So I think when teen babysitting sort of first got popular, parents felt uneasy about it. You know, you had this young person who was sort of on the cusp of adulthood, but clearly not not so grown and responsible. So there was sort of this cultural anxiety, both about that and about, you know, the gender element. These were often teen girls. And there were these sort of larger societal changes happening through the 20th century where girls were getting more autonomy, and here they were working outside of the house. And, you know, they were there often because the moms were also, you know, getting more freedom, going out to enjoy themselves at night. So there was a lot of sort of cultural worry, and we can see that in, you know, for example, in the 1960s, there were you know, a lot of depictions of babysitters sort of being these temptresses that would seduce the father when the mom wasn't there, sort of like what happens when mom's not home. And going into the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of horror films where the babysitter was sort of trapped, you know, with a killer in the house, and they had to protect the kids. And there's a historian named Miriam Forman Brunel who has written about that, and she believes it was sort of like a symbolic punishment for, you know, what people saw as like the babysitter's irresponsible behavior. So people were very nervous about what was going on when they weren't there.
Ugh, poor teens. I want to go to some of our listeners who have experienced babysitting, have experienced getting babysitters. We're going to start with Jennifer in Brooklyn. Jennifer, thanks for calling WNYC.
Hi. I grew up and I started babysitting when I was only in about sixth grade, which was pretty normal at the time. So I was about 11 years old and I was entrusted with a five-year-old and a two-year-old regularly. And then I also had a six-month-old that I babysat, and I, you know, made my own money. I walked home. If it was too dark, maybe they would drive me home. And now I'm a mom with a daughter, and she usually has her grandparents take care of her. But I also am a teacher, a private music teacher. So I have hired my students over the years and for tutoring and for babysitting. And my daughter loves it when she has someone who's a teenager come over. And they each have such distinct personalities, and they get to know each other. And it's been wonderful. And also, I didn't say this when I called in, but you brought up another point. I did have a creeper experience myself with a father when I was a teenager. It was all fine when I was little, but one of the families they babysat for, I got a ride home from the dad, and then it was like an awkward moment. Nothing happened, but I was thinking about that trope and how it can be reversed also.
Sure. Jennifer, yeah. Can I just ask you, when you were doing your early babysitting, I think you said you were in sixth grade, how old were you?
So I was about 11.
Yeah.
When I started. It was mostly in the afternoons, but it would go into the evenings for date nights, and I loved it because I would like raid the pantry and watch TV and do all the things I couldn't really do at my own house. So I felt very grown up. Besides making the money, it was kind of fun making, you know, frozen pizza for the kids. And I thought it was a great way to get a sense of, you know, maturity. And I think there should be more of it happening. And I do manage to get some of my kids to babysit my students, but they're also really overscheduled, and most of them don't really need the money that much. So,
sure. Jennifer, thank you so much for that call. Let's go to John in Woodhaven, Queens. John, thanks for calling WNYC.
Oh, hey. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. I understand you used to be a babysitter.
Yes, I grew up in rural Connecticut, and I was I babysat for a lot of neighbors' children. And I made money as a young kid in middle school. And yeah, I felt, as the last caller said, I felt super proud and responsible. And I love the job.
John, thanks so much for that call. Faith, you know, a couple people remembering their experiences babysitting, talking about getting babysitters now. In your article, you described the 1920s as boom times for leisure, which resulted in boom times for teen babysitters. So how do the leisurely times of the 1920s compare to the 2020s, where it seems like teen babysitters in some cases are harder to find and in some places maybe don't even exist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot has changed. And yet the 1920s really were boom times for leisure. I mean, a lot of changes were happening, like, you know, car ownership was growing, and people were going out to movies and restaurants more. So it was sort of an exciting time for adults, and it created a lot of need for babysitters. And you know, these changes also affected people's parents. So it meant that grandparents were less available a lot of the time to watch the kids as they would have maybe in the past. And yeah, now today, I think a lot of people still depend on family and friends, but the teen babysitter that kind of developed in that time is just not so much trusted. We just see teens as younger. A lot of people don't even want 12-year-olds to be left alone at home anymore. So I think it's there's a lot of reasons that we just see that age differently.
You know, the caller Jennifer raised the issue that part of the challenge in finding babysitters is some of these kids maybe don't need the money. Perhaps, you know, maybe are there more middle class families where parents are just paying for everything? I'm not sure if that fits under the rising trend, excuse me, of intensive parenting, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are and your reaction is to that idea that, you know, perhaps some of the reason we aren't seeing this is because, you know, the kids aren't looking for it either.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big reason. I think a lot of teens are in extracurricular activities themselves. So, you know, it's part of the trend, you know, on one hand, because younger kids are often in scheduled activities with adults. But that affects the teens too. And there's sort of been a shift, you know, teen labor participation has been dropping in general for quite a while. And it's, we call it extended adulthood sometimes, where, you know, the sort of focus for a lot of teens is now on academics, getting into college, and there's sort of this longer period before the kinds of responsibility that we used to associate with being an adult. You know, people get married and buy houses later and all of that. So yeah, there's this sort of long period now where teens are busy focusing on academics and career exploration, and often have really packed schedules themselves. It's very, you know, structured, and there's like all these things they're doing to try to get a leg up in this sort of world of intensive parenting.
I want to bring in some of our callers. Let's try Aaron on the Upper West Side. Aaron, thanks so much for calling.
Yes, hi. What a wonderful program. I grew up babysitting and I guess doing as a mother helper, which is when the parent's still home, I think from the age of 10. So I started out that way. But I think by 12 in sixth grade, I was babysitting like up to four kids at once. And sometimes the parents would be out till 2 a.m. and a baby. So I find it funny on the Facebook mom groups today where it's like, I can't have a 16-year-old, you know, watch my, you know, 10-year-old. And it just seems a little funny because it's just when I was growing up, I guess in the early 90s, that wasn't the case at all.
Right.
So I think it was a huge development. And also Anne M. Martin's The Babysitter's Club series came out. So I think that bolstered how important it was for girls of my generation as a part of independence and growing up. So that was, I think, hugely formative for me making my own money. Having my own independent time, learning how skills, you know, becoming a parent, handling, you know, conflict. And my daughter is now 20, and it wasn't, she grew up in New York, and it wasn't cool to be a babysitter. It was like, ew, that's not a real job. And then after working at a coffee shop, she realized, oh, maybe it is. And it's kind of super lucrative, and kids are kind of cool. I think it's interesting how the fundamentals of what it teaches are still the same.
Right. And I want to thank Aaron for joining us. Faith, I just want to give you about 15 seconds to respond to that before we have to wrap up. A lot in that call.
Yeah, absolutely. I am glad that you mentioned the Babysitter's Club because it came in a really interesting time, kind of in the 80s, when this tug of war was going on about, you know, whether we trust teens and how you should feel about having your teen babysitter home without you. And the Babysitter's Club books were sort of a response to that, that as you're saying, you know, sort of a portrayal of really competent, mature teen girls.
We're going to have to leave it there. I'm so sorry, Faith. My guest was Faith Hill, staff writer from The Atlantic. I'm Bridget Bergen, and this is The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in again tomorrow.